Could do a little something different here. Can I call, Josiah, would you mind leading out in a song? Let's sing 91. That way I can gather my thoughts as we... Let's just start with that. That is a very beautiful song. It's a song with the future, a song of that drives our excitement for what is to come. For all, I just wanted to say a thank you for that devotional this morning. I find it always amusing how God puts things together. This week seemed to be rather full, and I have to say I leaned on God's Spirit a lot this week, and we'll see what He has for us here this morning. I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning, the one that died for us, the one that has gone on to prepare a place for us to go to. This morning I plan to share a message. A little overlaps just a little bit onto Tim's message, but the other week. But it's also a message that I got inspired to share on as I observed the congregation here. I really enjoy being part of this group here, and you all have been an inspiration to me. In the past couple months, and especially the last couple weeks, we started working on buying our future building to where we hope to start a church and start having our services at. And there's been a lot of chatter and excitement about that. I hear you talking of things like, I can't wait till we have more room. Or are you here, I am excited that we can have our own building. Or I'm excited that the building may be able to be heated better in the winter. And to the visitors, this building is a nice little building, but it does have its quirks and is cold in the winter and a lot of different things. And there's an excitement that's growing now because we can, of the opportunities of owning our own building. And there's excited anticipation for what this change will mean for our church here. And it's excitement that I see that is drawing you all together to one common cause. It's an excitement that people are rallying behind. And you see this as the funds start to pour in and the energy is starting to, people are putting energy and time into it and working at buying this place. I'm going to ask two questions. And if you're too shy to raise your hand, you don't have to, but who here is excited to see what God has for us in this new location? All right. And as we're excited about something, we share with others around us our excitement. People we meet up, our co-workers, our family, we talk about these excited things of, you know, we're, and it could be numerous things. Maybe it's not the building. Maybe it's a car you're looking to buy at, or a business venture. And the second question is, who has talked to anyone about your excitement for this new building in the past 2 weeks? So that's a few of you's like to talk. And some of us like to talk more than others. Just hold those questions in your mind and let's turn to Revelation 21. I have to be honest, I always get a little scared when turning to the last book of the Bible. But I decided to put my fears away and we'll see what God has to share for us here. We're gonna actually read a good bit of verses because there's a lot of stuff in here that we can be excited about. Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.' And he sat upon the throne. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these things are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fear, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. and had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, and the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereon, and the wall thereon. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. And he measured the city and the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and breadth and the height is of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereon, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the city and the wall of it was a jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Imagine the sheer beauty. Very few of us actually have gold, but it is shimmering, and it's of high value. But it says it's that pure, is like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And sorry, I'm going to stumble over these names here. But the first foundation was jasper, and the second was sapphire, and the third of chancellor. I don't know how to say that. But anyhow, the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth a beryl, and the ninth a topaz, and the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12th gates were the 12 pearls, every several gate, every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. The glory of the God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination and make the lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and a Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and in either side of the river was there a tree of life, which beareth 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And there were no more curse, but the throne of God and the light Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and need no candle, neither light the sun. And the Lord God giveth them life, and they shall reign forever and ever. You read down over that chapter, and it's all listing things that we can't even afford or imagine to have on this earth. Yeah, you might be able to buy a little silver bar or a gold bar, but who here can afford to pave their driveway in gold? It's so extravagant that we cannot even fathom of what it would be like. We see there's no more sea. A sea is known to be dangerous and has taken countless lives. It's a place that's undependable. It can be calm 1 minute and quickly the waves come rolling in. But there's no more sea. There's no more tears. No more sorrow. There's no more hurt. There's no more tears from the choices your loved ones may have made. There's no more death. There's no more diseases or flu bugs or stomach bugs, no cancer. There's no more sickness. And you think of that, and it's like, how could we get to that? Our desire is to not get sick. There was a statement in there, it says, if he that overcometh shall inherit all these things. Wouldn't we want to go to a place that we can have everything like that? We have the desire to go and move to a building that we have a little bit better. Accommodations. But we have an option to go to a place that all of our physical ailments will disappear. He says, there's no more night, no more curse, and they shall reign forever and ever. You look at this here. It says they'll reign forever and ever. This is not just a place that you go just for a day, like an attraction. It's not a place that you can come and go from. But it's a place that is offered to all, but few will make it. It's a place of utmost comfort. And it says, the sheer beauty is unimaginable. And once you make it, you will never have to leave. It's final. Once you're there, you can never make mistakes again. In life, it seems that it's so easy to make mistakes and to mess up, would you say? And you keep having to ask God for His forgiveness. But heaven is not that way. Once you're there, there is no such thing as a temptation or failure. He seals you in complete righteous state forever. And all you'll ever be able to do is to do good in the will of the Father. Will that not be just amazing? And our minds can't even comprehend that. They time out, would you say, when you start to think about that. I'm going to ask another question here. So who here is excited about going to heaven? My next question, who would say it's probably the most excited thing the most exciting thing of their whole life? We can say it's definitely the most, we will not have anything that's more exciting here on earth than to be able to make it to our promised reward if we follow him. My last question for you this morning. Sorry I'm asking questions, but it was a challenge that hit me the other week as I was thinking of our excitement. I get excited about the future for our church here, and I tend to maybe bore other people of what all is happening. And I thought of this question. Who here over the last 2 weeks have talked to someone about your excitement of heaven to come? Actually, I raised my hand. I wasn't supposed to raise my hand. But anyhow, there is very, very few times, even though heaven is one of those places I definitely do not want to miss. I'm excited to go. But very few times do I go and share with those around us. And it challenged me. And there's can be multiple reasons why that is. This morning's title for the sermon, kind of sharing it halfway through here, is Setting Your Sights on Eternity. Setting your sights on eternity. I will be the first to admit that heaven is a place that you definitely want to go. I definitely want to go to, and I wouldn't miss it. I will try my best to make it there, but it becomes this distant dream. It's this dream that you tuck away in your mind, and the here and now seems to fill in and take our focus as we live our busy lives. The glamours of this world, the noise of this world fills in and it steals the thunder, as it were, of eternity that's coming. To set your sights on something means to turn your focus onto. To turn your direction to. And one could ask, with all the pressing things in the here and now, how does one turn his focus on things to come? My first point is, how to set your sights on eternity, you must recognize that this is not your home. It is easy to get wrapped up in this in this life and think that, you know, we're here forever. But God never promises another minute. In order for us to recognize that this is not our home, we must believe that there is a heaven and a hell. We must believe that those two are two actual physical places that we will be going to. And the location where we will be going to will be determined by who we follow. And the belief of heaven and hell is under attack today. There is a belief that is creeping into circles very, very close to us, that hell isn't for eternity. It's a belief that you will only be going there for the amount of time, and almost like a sentence that you would receive in a court of law today. You know, if you did only a few bad deeds, you only get a certain amount of time in hell. Just heard of a church recently where we have friends in. That has taken on that belief. If that is how you believe here today, then what is the reason for trying? Because in all reality, you know, if you just try to be someone good, the most that could happen is you'll serve a couple years. And I feel bad for those people, because we see it's for eternity. Matthew 25:46 says, and these, he was talking about, I should have read more of the verses there, but Jesus was talking about those that were not following him. And he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's everlasting. It will, their consequences that they receive will be forever. In our minds, just kind of blank out at the eternity factor. It's very hard for us to even comprehend that. Second Peter 3:11 says, seeing then these things shall be dissolved, that manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conversation, godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, therein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth the righteous. Second point for keeping our focus on eternity is to recognize that there will be tough times on our journey there. We were never promised an easy walk. Looking back over the start of our little group here, there was a group of people that had a vision. And with that vision, they knew that there would be tough times. They knew that they would all have to pull together. They knew it would take energy. And since they all were expecting that it would not be easy, when the news came that no ministry would be going with, it was a blow, but it did not kill the vision. If you're going on a trip and you hit a pothole and blow a tire, you don't just call it quits. You pull the spare tire out and keep going. You don't give up just from a roadblock. You have a vision. But on that trip, if you had no vision of where you were headed, you probably would turn around. In life, we need to expect hard things to come. God never promised it would be easy. If you could go to a resort on vacation that is even a fraction of the beauty and the comforts that heaven will have to bring, it would cost an outrageous sum of money. But as humans, we expect the path to heaven to be easy. We get frustrated when we hit hard times. If we set in our heart to expect a rocky path, and it turns out to be smoother than expected. It is easier than expect a smooth path, and it becomes rocky. If we expect a smooth path and we get into hard times, the chances that we lose out is very high. Third point is, you need to share your excitement about heaven with others. This is the point that I have to work on myself. This is the point that has drawn me into this studying on this subject, because I see in myself that I say I'm excited for things to come, but when am I actually sharing that with others? It's fun to talk about the new church building because I'm excited about it. I see a path forward. We see the doors that God has opened and all, and it's amazing to see what has all happened. And as we all are talking about it and we're sharing our excitement to each other, it feeds off of each other. The excitement feeds off of each other and it keeps growing. A vision within the group of people only grows when you all are pulling together and are excited about it. The same goes with our hope for heaven. If we are more excited on sharing about things on earth than heaven, then that is where our hearts will be. Now I ask you this question: why do we talk so little about heaven? I thought on that question, and there's so many things that probably go into the reason. You look on the PMC website, and there's so many more messages about daily living than actually our hope for the future. And we have to take a lot of energy to make sure we walk right to get to where we want to be. But I wonder if we wouldn't do ourselves a lot of benefit if we actually study into the Word more to what God has for us, so that we get our focus and our excitement to grow for things to come. There's times that I fear that we don't talk about it because too many times it gets into prophecy. And when we think about prophecy, that's overshadowing the whole end times thing, we as humans don't want to look dumb to those around us. So we shy away from talking about it out of fear. Do we stop talking about the things to come out of fear? There's sometimes things that we... Another reason why we may not talk about it is we like to talk about things that we feel confident about. Things that we are well versed in, would you say? are we not well versed in what God has for us to come? Which brings us to my last point, is we need to focus on your reward to come. We need to keep it in our forefront, in our minds. Our minds are very, extremely small, and we will never understand the whole dimension of the things to come till we are there in person. When I think of heaven, I have this, I'm going to call it distorted picture in my mind. The Bible lays it out with all kinds of beauties, and there is, and I feel that is only a fraction of what heaven is going to look like. There is more to come, but I have this distorted picture in my mind, but it's filled with experiences that you have, what you experience in your mind, in this world. You fill it with things you can imagine from things around you. We fill it with pictures of houses, the way they're built here, but where do you find houses of gold? But I have to admit, when I think about the whole aspect of eternity and living for eternity, my mind goes blank. And there's times you're thinking and you're trying to imagine living for it never, time will never end. In my mind, like, pretty much flatlines, would you say? You can't comprehend it, it stops. Maybe your mind goes farther than mine. But I have to admit, there's almost a bit of fear that comes with that. Because there's a certain amount of fear that develops out of the unknown. We like to know what the future is. And when our mind just goes blank like that, do we stop to focus on it out of fear? Or maybe it's just fear that comes. Or it might be fear that's coming. Because you're not certain that you're ready to meet your Maker. And if it is the latter, I would challenge you not to wait. Life is short. We're not guaranteed to walk out of here. And Furl, thank you for that devotions. It fit very good into this as you shared with this your dream of sitting here and we be enraptured out of this building. We're not promised to leave this building here today. Life is short. But eternity, I can't explain it, but it's longer than you can imagine. And we all have the choice of where we go today. Where we, not necessarily today, but where we go when God calls us home. Our life is like a trip. When you're on a trip, you have a goal of going to see different things. You may have a list of places. And they may be on your list in order of importance. There may be some that are high on your list. And there may be there may be things on your list that is the sole reason for going on your would you say, trip or adventure or whatever you're going. There may be some that if you get there, you could say, we'll get there if we do, and if we don't, no big deal. And you won't be disappointed. And it's not a really big deal. But then there's things on your trip that might be the main reason why you're going. It's the focus. It is the one place that you're trying to end up at. Maybe it's a wedding you had to do travel for. If it wasn't for the wedding, you wouldn't go on the travel. Where is heaven on your list? Is it just on your wish list? Or is it just a place that you hope that you make it? Is it just a dream? Maybe it looks big and fearful because of the unknowns. Or maybe it's your sole agenda for your life. If you're going to make it, you need to make it your mission, your focus. You need to share with others your dreams and hopes to keep your own dream alive, because it takes work to get there. You don't get to heaven by just sitting back and watching the world go by. It takes a plan, a following, and a following of that plan to make it. Revelations 22:20, and he which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I trust that is your testimony today. Is that what we want? Are we saying, even so come? Or is there a fear that we may not make it? Let's kneel for prayer.